Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, I tell you one thing I love about FPL is it's sitting here on a Sunday night and being right. You know what? Sat here a few weeks ago and I said there is a Simicass double-digit haul waiting to be had. I said, everybody get on him. I got him in, you got him in. I love being right. I absolutely love being right. What do I not love?
When you bench him.
Benching it.
I did it too.
Oh my god. Anybody else that benched Simicass this week, get your hand up. Do the hand up emoji or the sad face emoji or something in the chat, because that is a haul that we all wanted to get, wasn't it? 14 points.
15,
sitting first sub. Ouch.
It's annoying.
Ouch.
I was playing him right up until I made my transfer this week. And then
Were you close to playing him? I was. For sure.
I was painting all week, and then on Friday night, I made the transfer to sell Dan Burn and get in Saliba. So I can't really moan because I bought in Saliba and got 9.
Oh, good. Yeah.
But then I looked at my defence and was like, okay, I can play 3. So it's Gehi at home to Everton. Got to play that.
You're going to play that, given the Chelsea Palace defensive stats, yeah?
It's Cash.
Got to play that. Got to play it.
Got to play that.
Yeah.
And it's Saliba.
Got to play it.
And then I've got Simicass. I've got those 4, and I want to play you all. Who's got the least chance of a clean sheet?
Could you have played him? Who would you have had to drop from midfield to play a back 4?
No, I couldn't have.
Because they all look pretty good as well.
Diaby, Salah,
Bowen.
Diaby, Salah, Bowen, Gordon, and
one other. Don't know.
Son.
Should have not played Sam.
Oh, shut up. There was only ever going to be 3 defenders playing. So, and I couldn't have benched Gehi or Cash.
And you know what? There was a lot of FPL managers actually selling Simicass ahead of this week.
Yeah.
And I got it, right? And the main reason I benched him was because, and again, this game week 12 is going to be defined for me by like genuine bad decisions, right? Often I'll get on here and I'll talk about bad luck and oh, this didn't go my way, that go. I'm always whinging about luck. No luck about this week. I made some bad calls this week. Very bad calls. One of them was not to play Simicass and to play, I played Pedro Porro instead, which in hindsight, was that a good thing? He did get an assist. And up until the 91st minute, I was loving the Pedro Porro haul.
He was getting a double digit haul, yeah.
He was, but not to be, unfortunately. But then, yeah, I mean, I played Mbeumo in my midfield thinking, I think we're going to concede in that game. So I'm going to bench Simicass and play Mbeumo. That was really my decision. Based on the fact I thought we would concede. And actually, Brentford played pretty well. We'll talk about the game a bit later on. But that's a bad call, right? It's a bad call. Almost also made a bad call with my transfer in this week as well. I'll talk about that in a second. But listen, all that to be discussed. I'm not going to moan too much because I've had an all right week. Compared to last week, when we were sitting here and I was on about 10 or whatever it was. Something ridiculous. Game week 11, I'm glad we've moved past it because it was absolutely tragic. But game week 12, I think, has been a lot better. For FPL managers, a lot better. So get in the chat, let us know your scores, guys. Good evening to Daniel Banks, a green arrow with a benched Simicass and Watkins captain. I'll take that after last week. Yeah, I mean, Watkins with the goal, so fair play to you, Daniel. But I'll tell you what, he missed a sitter as well, didn't he, Ollie Watkins? He missed a sitter. Notice he was second for XG underachievers this week, just behind Hoyland with an XG of 1.91. So he had a delta. Despite scoring the goal, the delta was still 0.91, and there was a big, big chance in that second half. All he needs to do is head it in, just missed a header. Could have had even more points for you, Daniel.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Paul Kingsley is in. Hey, Paul.
Yeah,
what's up with you?
I'm on the fidget.
You're also miles away from the mic sitting there. I mean, I don't know if you want to. Do you need to move it? Because
No.
All right, okay. You're miles away from it, but that's fine.
It's taking me ages to get comfy. I finally found a comfy spot, so I'm going to stay here now.
Okay.
I do look like I've got my back to you. I don't mean to.
It depends how I analyse the Spurs game, which we'll come to a bit later on. You might want to turn your back on me on that point. Who we got? Joe Thurgood, evening, Bonfields. 101 points, Joe. 101 points with a bench boost that was awful. So the bench boost didn't work out, but still... 101 points. That takes him, Sam, get this, from 2.2 mil to 583k. Very nice.
Very nice.
£1.5 million up, Joe. So we love to see that, mate. Sian Piret is in. How are we doing? Sian, who is not just a patron, but also a member here at the FPL Family YouTube channel. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Scott Schrager is in as well. How are we doing, Scott? Nice to see you, mate. Also a member of the FPL Family YouTube channel. Wilco is in. Hey, mate. 92, very good. Got on the Greek god, Salah and Haaland captain. So he had not just Tsimikas, but Salah and the Haaland captaincy as well. Nice, Wilco. That's following on from a decent score in game week 11 as well. In a week where none of us had anything. He had Doku and got pretty good. So fair play, Wilco. You're having a good month, mate. He's probably doing pretty well in Manager of the Month, I would imagine.
I should have thought so.
I would imagine he's doing well.
Didn't he also have Mitchum as well last week?
Yes, I think so. Glenn Harper is in. He's saying, loving the new background, by the way. Thank you, Glenn. Yeah, thank you. This is all Sam's work, actually. Sam's put a lot of work into this, so thank you.
It's my office, you see, now. So since Lee's moved out and gone upstairs, I've kind of decided that, no, this is going to be a nice space.
It's your little studio workspace now, right?
So we obviously do this from here, but I sit across the way when I'm doing all the other content that I produce at my desk, like the Q&A and the official pod. So nice to have the better backdrop as well in that background.
Absolutely. Who else we got? Richard is in. How are we doing, Richard? Azzy is here, the Smiths 1986. How are we doing, mate? 90 points. Very nice, mate. Very good. I will miss the Monday Night Football not having the Jeopardy on the line. It's horrible when it's not on. Yeah, we are done, right? I think that's game week 12 finished.
Yeah, because it's international break now. They're not allowed to join the country.
International break for a couple of weeks.
Because we've only just had an international break, doesn't
it? Well, it does, to be honest with you. It's come at a bit of a, I don't know, I feel like I've got a bit of momentum coming out of game week 12, especially after what the nightmare and chaos that was game week 11. Mm. So I'd like to go again quite quickly in FPL.
No.
But now we've got 2 weeks, haven't we? 2 weeks, so.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to be doing in that 2 weeks, but listen, we've got, I looked at my bus team for game week 13, and it seems like everyone's playing each other. I don't know whether you've seen the same or whether you guys have got the same. A lot of my team are kind of playing each other. It doesn't look great. My team for 13, my bus team doesn't look great. Also, not really sure who to captain as well. But listen, we'll talk about that a bit later on. Matthew Knight is in. How are we doing, Matthew? 95 this week after 15 last week. I mean, that's
15.
It's weird, isn't it?
15 to 95. It just doesn't. And you know,
wouldn't have made that much changes, Matthew. We'd have had largely the same players, right?
No, and it
15
is,
to 95.
I mean, when I was looking at the league that I have with the guys on the pod, it's the same with them. Like last week, we were all in the mud. I think Jules had 18, didn't he, or something last week, and he's got 94 this week. It's the same team by one transfer. So to go from that to the other end, it shows you how unlucky we all were last week, I think. Because last week, there was a lot of good underlying stats for a lot of the big assets, the heavily owned ones, who just didn't return on the chances that they were creating. And as a result of that, when you have your big assets not owning and then your diffs don't do anything either, it made for a really hard week last week. And I actually thought halfway through the day yesterday that this week was going to be a bit similar, but it's been today where the major assets have kind of gone, here's some points.
Well, it's Haaland Salah, right?
Yeah, but also, also Watkins and Bowen and Diaby.
Yes,
players that kind of are fairly well owned now.
Tsimikas.
Liverpool generally, I think. Yeah. You know, clean sheets sticking.
Even for Darwin, really, again? He got an assist in but you know, if you're a Darwin owner in FPL, get in the chat, get in the comments, let me know how you feel. Because in particular, one that was a gnat's whisker offside in the first half, and then another one that was offside again called by VAR, but that one was offside. So at 0-0, you're kind of sitting there as a Darwin owner, you must have been thinking, what have I got to do to get some points here? And I know he got the assist and that's all good, right? But still, he's still getting in the right positions, right? Those offside chances obviously don't count towards his XG.
Yeah.
So you'll notice, actually, if you go to the Fantasy Football Scout members area, he's not in the XG underachievers table for a bloody change this week. He's not in there, right? In fact, it's Hoyland and it's the Villa boys. It's Watkins and Diaby. So no sign of Nunes in there, but that doesn't mean he didn't have chances and wasn't getting in the right places.
Yeah.
That, again, we want to see in FPL. He just didn't get the points, did he? Yeah. Didn't get the point. Don't know what Darwin owners must be thinking. What have I got to do to get a haul out of this guy? What have I got to do? Joseph Maloney in with a super chat. Hey, Joseph, how are we doing, mate? Hi, Sam Ali. Hope you had a good weekend. We did, mate. Thank you. A score of 78 with 15 on the bench. I think that is going to be the story of a lot of FPL managers' weeks, isn't it? It's going to be the Tsimikas bench. Still a good score, 78, still a flipping good score for game week 12. But oh, what could have been, Joseph? What could have been?
Yeah, it does feel a bit like it might be one of those weeks. I certainly feel like it's what could have been week in terms of, right, we'll look at my score later. But it certainly feels that a lot of managers are going to be looking at that going, apart from if you're Az and you've accidentally played your bench boost. Tsimikas on
it. Did he actually genuinely do that? I saw him tweet about that. He accidentally played his bench. Yeah. How do you do that?
Well, I think he was drunk. He'd been out of the Hell Cheaters events. Oh, God. So my guess is he probably had a couple of beers.
He's probably loving it now, though. 15 points out of Tsimikas, that's all right.
I don't know what he got else on the bench, though. Nothing, probably.
Who knows?
I think you'd take it, wouldn't you, a 15-point bench?
Oh, yeah, if you've done it accidentally, absolutely. Yeah. Kenz is in with a super chat. Hey, Kenz. Evening, guys. Hello, mate. Finished on 96. Kenz, nice. Loving that, mate.
Those kind of score lines, though, frustrate me.
Why?
Because I'm like... so close to 100 club.
Listen, you ain't moaning about 96, are you? Especially after last week.
No, not moaning about it, but that's the sort of thing that annoys me. Like, if I get over 100, I think, oh, so close.
Well, Kenz is in there with the 96, but he says, Sam, Son is now a worry for him now. We've got to talk about the Spurs game and, indeed, Mr. Heung-min Son at some stage this evening. I'll put him on the thumbnail. Bit isolated, bit out of the game, didn't have many chances, but listen, we will go through it in a bit more detail later on. We've got a whole host of you guys in. Gordon Smith in with the 92, started Tsimikas over Cash. Loving that, mate.
Oh, nice, you see, nice I move. Should have done
that. Nice move. So a whole host of you and guys, thank you for joining the stream this evening. If you're new to FPL Family, make sure you hit that subscribe button while you're here so that you know when we go live next. And if this is your first stream or you come here every week, make sure that you hit that like button. Helps us with all the YouTube algorithms and stuff, helps us attract newer and bigger audiences. So hit that subscribe button and that like. We'd love you to do that, guys. Love you to do that. All right, Sam, let's get on with the results from this week.
Sounded like you were about to host Eurovision then.
Well,
and the results from the British vote.
From the British vote. Let's talk about... I'd like to talk about Palace 2, Everton 3. And what the hell... Let's start with that, because...
What a game to pick to start with.
Well, very interesting game, because obviously a lot of us as FPL managers were investing or have invested in Palace defence. Many in maybe even doubling up if you've got Johnson between the sticks as well.
Yeah.
Everton suddenly rock up there and score 3. What changed? And in particular, I'd like your thoughts on Eze coming back for Crystal Palace.
It's massive, that.
Absolutely huge. He is. Well, go on, give me your thoughts first, and I'll talk about Eze, because I can wax lyrical about him, I thought he's brilliant.
Well, the thing with Everton is that they have been showing improvement. So it was one of those ones where you kind of looked at it and went, well, Everton have improved, but
yes,
there's goal threat now with Dominic Calvert-Lewin back. There's enough. Decore's been good for a while, to be fair. He's been playing well. So there were green shoots at Everton. And Crystal Palace... they've been solid defensively in most games, but they do have the tendency just every now and then to do this. Like they did it against Spurs, didn't they, where they conceded a couple. They did it. Who did they do it against the week before? Was it you lot?
Possibly. I can't remember.
It was another one of the top clubs who they played against and they conceded a few to. And it was kind of like, okay, well, they've got that in their locker to concede a number. I didn't see it happening against Everton at all, hence why I played Gay here.
No,
I was
totally,
happy,
yeah.
Happy to play Gay.
Champion in Palace defence most of the week. We both were, 100%,
yeah. And I still look at that game week and go, well, yes, I think there's been green shoots at Everton, but I did not see them scoring 3. It just wasn't on my radar.
Calvert-Lewin was a handful, though. I watched the highlights last night and Match of the Day. He was a handful. I know he didn't get any goals or assists in this game, but... the fact that he was there and occupying Gehi and Anderson,
yeah,
it made space for the others like Decore, like Garner. I'm not going to say Mikalenko either, but even on the Mikalenko goal, the cross comes in from, can't remember, Harrison, I think it was. Harrison comes in, who actually is putting himself on the radar potentially a little bit himself, but the cross comes in and a lot of the defenders are kind of like, they're sort of naturally gravitating towards DCL, and then Mikalenko just like steals in. So that's 2-2 for him now, isn't it? Mikalenko, which is crazy. Mm. Not suggesting we get on him anytime soon. But I'm just saying, again, we say it every week, the presence of DCL, despite no FPL points here, he's making a difference for Everton. Tell me your thoughts on the return of Eze, though. I know Michael Olise as well come back from injury, so he got a few minutes towards the end of the game. But Eze started, won the penalty. In my opinion, should have had a second penalty as well. So the way he gets the booking for diving, I mean... there's contact. I mean, he doesn't. It's not a booking. It's not a dive in. It may or may not be a penalty. I happen to think it is, but it could not. I can see why he might not give it as a penalty, but it's not a dive. It's not a dive. Mm. And by going down, he's got the opportunity to ask for the penalty. So you can't blame him for going down. But the first one is Stonewall. He takes it. All round exceptional performance from Eze. Mm. And all of a sudden, we've got a couple of goals from Palace where we've been struggling for goals in the past. So I don't know whether he's... Is he on radar? Let's have a look at his fixtures.
The Palace fixtures are nice. There's nothing wrong with the Palace fixtures.
Let's have a look at them. Palace coming up. Luton next. And then West Ham away. Bournemouth. And then from 16 onwards, it's getting a little bit more difficult. Liverpool, City, Brighton. But for the next sort of two or three, it's not looking too bad.
No, it's fine. And I think, you know, if... The thing with Eze is you could the concern I have a little bit with Eze, and it's the thing that I've always been concerned about with Eze, really, and it was the thing that historically I was concerned about with Zaha, is that it's just them in that attack. It feels like they are a bit one man does well,
yeah,
and then they score goals,
yeah,
that man doesn't do well and they struggle for goals, and there's not a lot of creativity upside alongside him, if that makes sense. Like, I think that in the other teams, at the price point that Eze is, you've got, like, if you take a Diaby or a Matoma, and I know Matoma's a bad example because he was benched this week, or even a Bowen, you look around the players that they've got in the team with them and there's creativity there. Whereas at Palace, I just worry that Eze's kind of got to do a lot of it on his own.
Yeah, he's a standout talent, no doubt about that. I also noticed, again, in the scout members area, second for tackles amongst the whole game week after Ollie Norwood from Sheffield United. Eze, second for tackles. So what does that tell me? That tells me that not only is he dribbling was brilliant, he's getting into the penalty, everything. He was hyped for this game. He's hyped to be back because his pressing must have been unreal. I didn't, obviously just seeing the highlights on Match of the Day, but it, you know, the press, the tackles. I mean, that's saying he put seven tackles in. That's more than the next... So, obviously, Ollie Norwood's out there with nine, but then Reece James, Sangare from Forest, and even more than Tarkowski, right? So, Eze was pumped for this game, so excited to be back. And in the end, despite the fact he's a forward, a thinking player, and put in seven tackles, he still gets the yellow card just for the, inverted commas, dive, which I didn't think was a dive. So, that tells me he's not just putting in... He's shutting down, he's pressing, he's... That, again, is super important for Palace, right? Super important for Palace. Yes, when you get him on the ball, great. But his off-the-ball work is really important as well. Really big for Palace to have him back.
He'd be quite
and hard Aliso,
to
right?
get, though. Because yeah. Midfielders, again, they continue to be in demand. And I, you know, you look at... maybe we'll talk about Spurs in a minute. But most people have already done the Maddison replacement now. There's very few people that would have held Maddison after the news that we got on Friday.
Yeah.
In the press conferences. So if you really swapped out Maddison, there'll be a lot of managers that are looking at it kind of going, okay, well, I've gone for a Gordon or a Matoma or whoever it is. And if you've done that, you've done that for a reason, and it's not just for the game that we've just played. You've done that because the fixtures are nice for, you know, the next few weeks. So getting in an Eze could actually be quite a challenge, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, I think you could be right. Nigel the Crab is in with a member's message. How are we doing, Nigel? Member for 20 months, it says here. And
wow.
He says himself, 20 months a member. Where's that time gone? That's feels
Sorry,
like just,
that feels like yesterday.
Honestly, it feels like yesterday we were pressing the, you know, turn on memberships button. But if you want to become a member of the FPL Family YouTube channel, just like Nigel, so you can have your chat messages highlighted in the live stream here, then there is a little join button next to the subscribe button on the channel, so you can go and join the FPL Family YouTube channel should you wish to do that. I've lost access to my FPL team.
How?
He says no idea how. I've likely done badly this week, but he's lost access to... How does this happen? Nigel, we hope that you can find your password and your FPL team and get that back as soon as possible. That is a random one.
It's weird, Si.
It'd be driving me insane if that happened to me.
Oh my God, that would literally... I would... So do you know, on Friday I was having a meltdown. If you watch my Instagram stories, you'd have seen it. Because my phone stopped working for 5 minutes. And Lee got the brunt of me being in a right. I was stressed because my phone wasn't working. It was longer than 5 minutes. But, you know, nonetheless, can you imagine what I'd be like if I couldn't get in my FPL team?
I know. Crazy. Just before we move on from Palace, top for shots this week, Edouard with 6. And top for passing this week, amongst everybody in the whole game week, right? Anderson and Gehi, first and second. Gehi first, Anderson second. Top for passing. So that tells you how much of the ball, how much possession Crystal Palace had in this game. So Palace, despite the defeat, a little bit on radar, I think, with Luton and a few others up next, I think, potentially. Where else do you want to go? Let's. It's a result that I was not expecting, right? Bournemouth 2, Newcastle 0. Now, we know that Newcastle have got plenty of injuries, not just at the back, but elsewhere. Obviously up front with Wilson and Isak both missing. Gordon come in and did an okay job, I think, leading the line. But it's clear that he's not a striker and he was kind of standing in there. Then you have, you know, what was a really good performance from Bournemouth, right? I'm telling you now that the best player for Newcastle in that game was Nick Pope. And it says it here, 8 saves, right? 26 BPS on the underlying bonus point system, which was the best among all Newcastle assets. And when you look at the highlights, Pope was awesome, right? Could he have done better on the first Solanke goal? Maybe. But he more than made up for it with the rest of the performance. It was so good. There was one goal that stopped it being 3-0 right at the end, which was so, so good. So Newcastle then, obviously you saw a bit on social media with Trippier at the end of the game, talking to fans and we got injuries, he was saying that sort of thing. So is the pressure starting to tower a little bit on Newcastle? Or are we just saying this is a bad day at the office, having to travel the length of the country to go away to Bournemouth? And with two home games up next against Chelsea and Man United, suddenly, we've got to talk about Chelsea in a minute, suddenly Chelsea might be starting to get it together a little bit. Man United altogether different proposition, but are Newcastle just starting to feel it a little bit with the squad depth? What do you think?
Well, they're struggling, I think, because, you know, like you say, there's injuries, and they're not like little injuries, they're big injuries. So it takes out both their strikers. And I think Isak is back after the international break, so that's obviously going to help. Botman's gone to see a specialist, that's problematic. But defensively, they've been doing okay without Botman. So
Burn as well injured though?
But Burn's now injured as well. I was kind of surprised not to see Livramento start, though. I was expecting Livra to get the start. So when he didn't, and then he made that change at half-time, which suggests maybe he thought it wasn't working and he, you know, needed to make something different happen out there. But yeah, they are struggling because the injuries are hitting them hard. But the injuries are also hitting them hard at a time where they've got a lot of fixture congestion because of the Champions League. And whilst they started that Champions League group incredibly well, the last couple of matches, they've really struggled. And if they want to make it out of that group, which of course they do, and they want to make sure that they make it to the round of 16, they have to have focus in the Champions League. And that is going to, it always does, put a strain on Premier League performances if you've got a squad that's one as small and two as stretched in terms of injuries and problems as the Newcastle one is at the moment. So I bought in Gordon this week as part of my transfers.
How are you feeling about that now?
No, I'm fine about that because...
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
I feel like I've made a mistake there.
Oh, why?
It's not really about Gordon because he got into some reasonable positions and he was shooting and he was supposed to be leading the line, so you'd expect that, I guess. But it's that midfield, right? We see it, talk about my own team. Right? When that midfield three is not right, I mean, I tell you what, Bruno Guimarães is obviously a big miss. They missed Tonali massively and they've not got him for months now. It's not an injury, it's a band or whatever, right? So we all talk about Burn and Botman, don't we? And the Newcastle defence, because that's where we've been looking in FPL. And we haven't really been looking in that midfield. But I don't know if Almiron was he starting? I don't think he was. And then Bruno's missing and
Bruno
Tonali.
Bruno was suspended because Bruno was in his fifth yellow card.
Oh, sorry, that's correct.
So,
correct.
Bruno didn't play for that reason. So next week, after the international break, obviously Bruno Guimarães will be back in the starting 11.
Well, that'll help, but I think Tonali's a big miss, you know.
Isak will be back after the international break. So I don't think it's as bad as...
I don't think he's not a panic. Don't get me wrong, I'm not bringing him in and then panic selling him a week later. But I had a straight choice this week, and we'll talk about my team a bit later on, but I had a straight choice between Gordon and Bowen. And
I'm surprised you didn't go for Bowen. Because
I tell you what,
you've been talking about Bowen for weeks now.
I've been talking about Bowen for a good month and a half, and everyone else has got him, and I've just for some reason just not got him.
Yeah, I don't know why. And up until
up to this week, it's been because of Mbeumo's good fixtures.
Yeah.
And then this week, I'm like, okay, well, it's almost a gift, isn't it? It's a gift because I was sitting there thinking,
terrible.
I don't want to sell Mbeumo now for the next couple of weeks because I'm going to want him from. Game week 14 onwards, the Brentford fixtures are really good. And even he was in fifth or sixth for XG underachievers again this week. He missed a one-on-one. Well, he didn't miss it. Alisson saved it in that game, but he could have scored in that game. And I backed him to score, actually. Hence, I benched Tsimikas. So I want to keep him, Bermo, right? But with the Maddison injury, I'm like, right, I can go to Bowen. And all week, I was kind of going to Bowen. And then I looked at how West Ham's form had been over so they've beat like Sheffield United only in the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks. And I thought, okay, well, Gordon, yeah, Newcastle, they haven't lost actually for a little while, Newcastle. So they're in better form as a team. And what really I should have done was gone into Bowen. But again, I saw the whole kind of Wilson and Isak thing and thought, actually, yeah, if Gordon's going to play nine, that was the swinger for me.
Yeah, it was.
I was like, if he's going to be nine, that's the thing that's going to edge it for him. And it's all hindsight, right? But I do feel like now I'm looking again at Bowen's fixtures for next week and thinking, I'm not going to get this guy again. What am I doing not getting Bowen? Like, just bloody get him, Lee. What are you pissing about not getting him? And, like, sticking with Mbeumo and having Gordon. It's just like, just get Bowen. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's an interesting one, though, isn't it? Because I had a straight choice between Gordon and Martinelli. Those were the two I was between this week. In the end, it actually didn't really matter. Wiped its face, really, in terms of points. So, however, I still think that I like the Gordon pick moving forward for at least a few more weeks.
Yeah.
And maybe when I stop liking the fixtures for Newcastle quite as much, there's an easy move down again to Cole Palmer Chelsea.
I thought that as well, yeah.
And in doing that, that allows me to then take my third forward slot up, which feels like a really nice position to be in then, to enter in with the three forwards for that kind of run over. Because there's going to come a point where, after the blank, where the Man City fixtures swing back again, and maybe I want to go back to Alvarez, maybe Darwin starts living up to the hype that I always put on his head, and I want to go there. There's like options, I think, in that third forward slot now, which I prefer to Cameron Archer. So let's see.
Okay. All right. And then from a Bournemouth perspective, good performance, right? Very impressed.
I'm surprised.
I know we're sitting here, going, oh, Newcastle this, Newcastle that. But credit Bournemouth. I mean, I thought they were really good. I thought Sinisterra was really good in this game as well. I thought he put himself about brilliantly in that midfield. But Dom Solanke led the line really, really well and could have had more were it not for Nick Pope. And, I'm going to say this really quietly because I've backed Dom Solanke before and kind of gone, he's now going to find a bit of form. But this is at Sheffield United next. Then it's home to Villa. And we know what Villa are like on the road. Not that great. Palace, Man U, Luton, Forest. I mean, the Man U game's red on the ticker here, but I'm telling you, it's not. That's some decent fixtures, isn't it? I mean, Dom Solanke for third striker. I mean, it's not a terrible shout, is it? And my voice is going higher and higher because I'm asking you a question.
Are you trying? I mean, sure.
You're not convinced. I can see you're not convinced.
Well, the reason I'm not convinced is because this is Bournemouth we're talking about. Like,
yeah, I know,
we've seen the consistency of water from them so far this season. Like, they're just not consistent at all. One week you watch them, like this week, you go, blimey, Bournemouth have got a decent squad there. That was a really impressive, good performance. Yes, okay, against a weakened Newcastle team. Maybe they came up against them in the right week. But nonetheless, doesn't matter when you come up against these teams, you have to beat them. And Bournemouth put them to the sword this week, fair enough. However, then you look back at previous weeks and you go, no. They've been utterly dross for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. So, yes.
You're allowed to say, Lee, you're getting too excited about an ex-Liverpool.
But also, you look at these fixtures for them. And yes, if you're Bournemouth, you're looking at them going, right, these are games we can win. I'm telling you also that the teams they're coming up against are looking at them going, that's a game we can win against Bournemouth coming up. And we need to, because these are 6 pointers at the bottom of the league.
But you're right, it's a key run for you. How do you say this guy's name? Iriola, is that
Iriola,
how you say?
Yeah.
It's a key run for him, right, between now and Christmas, these fixtures. They've got to be looking at these going, and I'm pretty sure they weren't looking at the Newcastle game going, we've got to win that. Well, obviously,
it's just a bonus, but 3 points.
It's a bonus they win that game, and they exploited the weaknesses of a lot of players missing from Newcastle. I think to sum it all up, no panic on Newcastle. I mean, if you've got Trippier, you've got credit in the bank from Trippier. Unless you bought him in this week, you've got credit in the bank from Trippier. Chelsea and Man U up next.
Yeah.
At home, they're a different proposition at home. I think you're holding your Newcastle assets, and I've just got a little cheeky eye on Dom Solanke. BPS, underlying BPS, was 60 this week, which was top throughout the whole game week. And I know Haaland got a ton of points, Salah got a ton of points, but nobody got more BPS, underlying BPS, than Dom Solanke. Really, really good performance. And like I say, could have been a hat-trick easily, were it not for Nick Pope, easily. Let's talk about their opponents for next week, Sam, Newcastle's at least. It's Chelsea. What an unbelievable game. What an unbelievable game.
We had the pleasure of watching this with my dad and my brother, didn't we?
This was an absolute pleasure to watch with your dad and your brother, who are massive Chelsea fans. It was backwards and forwards.
It was a great game of football.
It was a great game of football. There was
This was proper Super Sunday This was a proper Super Sunday game.
Yeah.
This one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Some questionable VAR. Again, we're not going to get into that. But the first goal, the penalty, and I've seen in the chat. So if you've got Cole Palmer, first of all, well done. More points. But I've seen in the chat, where was it? Chatterbox 5200. Thank you for the comment. He says he's seen the tweet, and I can believe this tweet. I haven't seen it myself or verified this stat, but I can believe it. He says, I've seen a tweet saying that 26% of Cole Palmer's shots this season have been penalties.
Well, that won't surprise me either.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Having said that, he is starting to look quite talismanic for Chelsea.
I love the leadership. I mean, I said this after the Chelsea game before. I don't know where I said it, because obviously I haven't streamed with you since. But somewhere I was talking, maybe on my Insta Reactions or somewhere, or my Thursday chat.
Yeah.
But I was talking about how the thing that really impressed me about Chelsea, and there wasn't a lot that impressed me about Chelsea against Spurs the other night, but the thing that really impressed me was Cole Palmer. And it wasn't really about his play. It was about the way he led the team. And he's a kid.
He's looking like a leader in that
team,
aren't he?
He's a kid. And he has got such an impressive leadership quality about him. And he's got this real presence. And he isn't afraid to tell the sometimes bigger players, go over there and do that.
And I've been very impressed with him.
And I'm here for that, because he reads, he's very intelligent and he reads the game really well. And he sees the problems and he fills the gaps. And I've got a lot of time for that. I've also got a lot of time for the fact that he's 5 million. He might be 5.1 now. And he's on penalties. And Chelsea seems to get a penalty every blooming week. So if he's going to be on penalties regularly, and he's so important in the way that Chelsea play, so you know that he's going to start every week, there's not a lot to dislike apart from the fixtures. But having said that, we're kind of coming to the end of that dodgy period of fixtures for Chelsea now.
Well, let's have a look.
Because we've
had
the Spurs game. We've had the Man City game. Yes, they've got Newcastle up next, but they're coming up against a Newcastle side who we've just talked about, should have Isak back, will have Gomez back, but they're still going to have key injury problems. And that could mean that Chelsea could exploit that. If I'm Poch, that's what I'm saying to the Chelsea boys over the international break. I'm saying, come on, guys, like, this is a weakened Newcastle team. This is a great opportunity to continue this great run, because if you just said to them, you're going to get 4 points out of games against Spurs and Man City,
They're just bitten your hand off.
100%.
Absolutely bitten your hand off. And I couldn't agree more on Cole Palmer. But I think, and having sat here and said Poch is going to get sacked before Christmas, number of weeks, I'm changing my mind slowly
on that.
They're
not sacking Poch.
He is starting to make a difference. They are starting to improve as a team. And they're starting to
get,
most importantly, character.
Yeah.
Right? The Chelsea from a few months ago, because that first one, the foul by Cucurella on Haaland for the penalty, for the City penalty, it's not. It's just not, is it? It's not. It's a crap VAR decision again.
No.
It is.
No. As I said to Chris, it's not a crap VAR decision, because the rule is, it has to be a clear and obvious error by the ref.
All right, well, and it's a refing error then.
I don't think it should be given in the first place. However, I don't think it's a VAR mistake. I think on VAR, it's right that it sticks. I don't think it's a penalty, but I think it's right it sticks, because the ref's not made a clear and obvious mistake. But Chelsea showed grit today.
Yeah, well, my point was that having been on the wrong side of that particular decision, didn't go into their shells, did they?
No, they
come out fighting. And even when the, you know, City's fourth goal, the deflected Rodri effort, goes in, you know, the Chelsea of old would have been without character, would have been, oh, okay, 83 minutes gone, in the rain against the champions, and we've just conceded, we've played well, but we've just conceded a deflected goal in the 83rd minute. Oh, you know, screw it. But no, they got back into it, and they dug in, and we haven't seen that from Chelsea for a long time. I'm telling you, Chelsea fans, if you can show me a bit more of that over the next few weeks, there are FPL points in these games. Newcastle will be difficult, no doubt about it, because it just is. Brighton at home, Man United away, Everton, Sheffield United and Wolves.
But that's what I mean.
I want a bit of it.
The fixtures are coming to an end.
I want a bit of that.
That run that we were all going, get off, avoid Chelsea, because they've got these horrible games coming up, that's coming towards an end. Newcastle's really the last one. And even then, I don't think Newcastle should actually put you off at the moment, given the slight injury worries that we've got going on over there. Brighton are in the mud at the moment. They can't, even when they're doing well in games, they can't seem to hold them. So they're not picking up the points that they should be. They're not scoring a lot of goals. They are struggling with the European commitment. I think that's what's going on there. I just think they're not coping with the midweek, weekend stuff. And sometimes that happens. We saw that with, who was it a couple of years ago? Was it Wolves? Who were playing in the Europa League, and it was just like they just couldn't get any traction anywhere.
So what are you saying about Chelsea then? Is it just a straightforward, you know, are we all just being a bit narrow-minded by saying, oh, well, I'll get Cole Palmer then in for a team, which for sure
who
I think
would
is
you
a...
get?
Well, Reece James is back.
Reece James is an option, but they're not keeping clean sheets.
They're willing that though, aren't they?
Where?
Well, from 14
from
onwards,
14.
I think I've got a pretty good chance.
So from 14 onwards, I think potentially. I don't think you're getting Reece James for the Newcastle game.
No, I'm not saying get any Chelsea ahead of that Newcastle game. Unless if you've got Palmer, hold for sure. And he can get a penalty any given game. But from 14, I would be astounded if Palmer's not in my fantasy team in game week 14.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
And probably
that.
One other, but I can't think who it's going to be.
Yeah, but I don't...
Nkunku, maybe?
Well, he's due back for Aston Villa, apparently.
Mm,
I think
okay.
it was the Aston Villa game.
All right.
Have they got Aston Villa coming up?
Yes, they have. Yeah. No, they haven't.
West Ham?
No, keep going.
Somebody in Claret?
No.
Don't know then. He's due back in a couple of weeks' time. They've got in 2 weeks.
They have got... it's Newcastle, then it's Brighton, Man U, Everton.
Don't know. Maybe it's Everton then. Can't remember. I was reading an article, but I'm sure it said Aston Villa.
Okay.
When are Aston Villa playing them?
I don't know.
Not for
it's
ages.
Not even on the ticker, so I haven't
probably
got to.
Already done it.
Yeah.
Don't know. Anyway, I think the thing with me, with Chelsea, is that I like Cole Palmer because he's cheap, because he's on penalties, because there's plenty of upside. The defence, I'm still not convinced about. Like, they've let in four today. They conceded to Spurs and would have conceded more last week against Spurs had we stayed at 11 versus 11. Defensively, they're weak. Still. There's still problems there. I don't like the goalkeeper. I think he's got too many mistakes in him.
I'd agree with you on that.
I do like Reece James. I always have. I think the attacking threat is obviously there and that upside is nice. However, I also think that there are a lot of really good defenders with nice runs of fixtures coming up at the moment that we are... invested in.
Yeah.
And getting Reece James is quite hard because you'd have to sell one of those players that you kind of have that upside for already in defence. So I'm probably not going there defensively, but Cole Palmer definitely I think is going to be one that ends up being really heavily owned in the community because he's just offering incredible value.
So Scott Schrager is saying, will Nkunku's return help or hinder Palmer though?
So
what do you think?
In the past, I think he would have been the one that made way for Nkunku coming back. Like Cole Palmer, I don't think gets as many starts if Nkunku's fit this season. He's probably coming off the bench more. But what I think Poch has seen is that if I'm Poch watching the games that we've had over the last few weeks, there's absolutely no way that Cole Palmer drops out of that team when Nkunku comes back.
No, I can't.
No chance. Now, he does... So he can play instead of Jackson. He could do that. But what we saw in pre-season was actually that Jackson and Nkunku worked really well together, particularly in the summer series when they were out in the States. Chris was saying today, could it be Sterling?
Chris is your brother, by the way, just
brother.
In case anyone's wondering who he is.
Yeah, he could be. I think they know that. He was saying today that could actually it be Sterling that misses out. And I thought...
Big shout, though. He looked all right today, Sterling, I thought.
But then I think they all looked all right today. Like this was the best Chelsea performance I've seen all season.
Yeah.
Today.
What about City then? So City, we shouldn't overlook them or not talk about them. Four goals as well, right? So despite the fact Pep and co will be a bit disappointed not to get all 3 points, still four goals, still a decent performance. Haaland at the double. I was kind of surprised, actually. What did you make of the whole kind of Doku versus Grealish thing? Because I was kind of surprised to see Doku in that game to start with, given that Pep was talking about the fact that he likes Grealish in... the inverted commas kind of bigger games, and I think you'd say Chelsea away, the Stamford Bridge, a big game, it's a big game.
Yeah, but I think what he meant by that is that Chelsea haven't been solid defensively. So my suspicion today is that he thought, well, if I play Doku, then he can attack that weak Chelsea defence.
Yeah,
and we'll rely on the midfielders, the rest of them, to kind of do the work that Grealish would perhaps do. I think what we'll see against Liverpool next week, probably against Spurs the week after, although, again, Spurs have got some big issues, we'll talk about them later, is potentially their Grealish matches. That's what it feels like to me. I was unsure about this week what he would do with Grealish and Doku.
Yeah.
But most transferred in, off on 59 or 58, you're going to be in, you're going to be annoyed. Again, right? But he was always a risk. If you went there on the back of the goal and the four assists last week, he was always a risk in terms of the start and the potential for minute rotation.
Okay. Anything else to say about City? I mean, Haaland... Just doing what Haaland does, right? I didn't think he had an amazing game, but he gets the pen and he gets one that sort of he rolled over the line with his groin. That's the only way I can describe it.
And an assist,
which was jammy as hell because it just was. So as a Haaland captain of this week, which we both were,
yeah,
I feel a little bit lucky to have got the haul. Do you think he deserved those 16 points?
No, I think he deserved. I think you back Salah. In part because he's the penalty taker, in the same way that you back Haaland, in part because he's the penalty taker. Yeah. So the fact that he scores a penalty to me is just like, well, that's good FPL management because you picked a penalty taker as your captain. I think the thing for me that's been quite telling is that there were a lot of managers a couple of weeks ago that went for Alvarez over Haaland when wildcarding, making that decision to get rid of Haaland, just have Alvarez to cover.
Yeah.
The last couple of weeks, that's been... hard if you've done that and if you've stuck with Alvarez because he's had a couple of blanks. He gets an assist today, but I think you're still really disappointed. A City scoring four goals and just an assist for Alvarez.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it's disappointing. And I think there'll be a lot of managers that are looking at, over the international break, looking at Man City with games against Liverpool coming, next game against Liverpool going, well, I've got Tsimikas and Salah. I've got Alvarez, and if you've still got Haaland as well, that's four players from this one game. Now, Tsimikas is easy to bench because of his price point, you just can. But Alvarez, not so much, because you've probably got five midfield and then those two up top. So unless you're happy to play an extra defender, and maybe you're not because you've got, I don't know, injuries or crisis, I think there comes a point where you have to kind of look at Alvarez and go, is it the right time to be doubled up? Particularly bearing in mind that in game week 18 there's a blank as well, so we've
got to start thinking about that.
Got
some
to
stage,
think
yeah.
about it because there's difficult fixtures coming up. So if you've got Alvarez and you've also maybe got an Mbeumo in your team, then we've got 5 weeks up until the blank.
Yeah, Liverpool, so Spurs, Villa, Luton, Crystal Palace, and then a blank.
So it's not an immediate sell. Like it's not an immediate like, oh, I've got to get rid of them all because there's a blank coming. But when you've got Liverpool, Spurs, Villa,
yeah.
In three of those games, and then the last two, they should win comfortably. I guess what I'm trying to say is, maybe if you've got Alvarez, you might be feeling a bit unhappy about it, and maybe there's other options that you look for instead.
Okay, all right, let's move on from Chelsea 4, Man City 4. One of the most, if not the most, entertaining games.
It was a brilliant game of football.
I really enjoyed it. It was a thoroughly enjoyable as a neutral sitting there. It was really thoroughly enjoyable.
No, move on.
Unfortunately, Sam, we do need to talk about Wolves 2,
no,
Spurs 1.
No, I'll happily talk about it because I think we've ran out of legs. I mean, to be fair, we were having a birthday party at this moment. So, and at the time the Spurs goal went in, I was holding my baby niece and I couldn't celebrate. So I just stood there holding her like, I can't jump up and down. But I think for me, this game was... I actually thought that we did well for a large chunk of it, playing with a team that, well, it was bodged. It was very defensively minded with Højbjerg starting instead of Maddison, and that's going to be a problematic point.
For creativity, yeah.
For creativity. Yeah. Between now and the new year, when Maddison is back, that's going to be a really, really difficult position to fill. I thought it was interesting that he went with Højbjerg rather than a Lo Celso. That I was expecting Lo Celso's name on the team sheet because he's the most obvious replacement.
Played any football though?
He's played some minutes, not enough, but he's played some minutes. He's played not that much fewer than Højbjerg, to be fair.
Mm.
I was expecting Lo Celso because in terms of creativity, he's the most natural replacement for Maddison. But we got Højbjerg instead, which was fine. It just made the team much more defensively minded. And given the defence that we had out, maybe we needed that. I was surprised to see Ben Davies instead of Ash Phillips. But, you know, in Ange we trust, so fair enough. And I thought for the majority of the game we did well. But we got to about 80 minutes and we looked tired. And Wolves were getting the better of us at every run. And... yeah, it was just one of those things. To concede twice in added time was sickening.
Mm.
From an FPL perspective, if you've got a Porro or a Vicario or one of the defenders, I think you probably only would have them two because the other three were not players that you would have picked because they haven't been starting regularly.
Yeah.
It would have been really, it would have been a real frustration to see the clean sheet go at that point because they'd done quite well up until then.
Do you think you'd done well?
I think we'd done quite well until then.
I don't know. I think Wolves were way better than you.
Well, I didn't say that Wolves weren't the better side, but I think defensively we'd done all right, given it was a makeshift defence. We kept them out until the 91st minute. What I would say moving forward is that if you've got a Porro in your team, I think Vicario is a little bit different, but if you've got Porro, I think he's an easy sell right now.
Why would Vicario not be an easy sell?
Well, just not. It depends on who your second goalie is.
Yeah, okay.
And whether you want to spend a transfer on a goalkeeper. Like if you've got Areola as your second goalkeeper, then I don't think you're moving on Vicario just yet. But I think if you've got Porro, he would be like you have. For me, that would be the transfer I'd be looking at over the international break. Because with the fixtures coming up for Spurs, it's obviously Aston Villa, then it's Manchester City. I don't see clean sheets in either of those two fixtures. I think after that, Romero is back. That will help because then we'll have Romero and Eric Dier, which, again, isn't ideal because there's no pace for playing the way that we want to play. Mm-hmm. You need a pacey centre-back. So that's still going to affect our forward play, but defensively we might be better. So I think if you've got a Porro you sell, there are quite major question marks over Sonny too right now because obviously he's an expensive midfielder asset. In a midfield where there's a lot of option. We've talked a lot about other assets that you could have in midfield and we haven't mentioned Arsenal yet and their midfield that we'll come to, I'm sure, at some point. But FPL managers will be looking at Son's position now going, if Spurs are going to play Højbjerg against Villa and against Manchester City, the creativity is once again going to be lacking. Brennan Johnson, I thought, was really good, actually. I thought he was our best player across that fixture we've just played. Kulusevski, I thought, was kept quiet. Son was trying to do everything and therefore in time doing nothing because he's just running around trying to be creative.
Mm.
But that's not Son's game and that's not where we need him. And with Richarlison out with his groin operation as well, he's not out for as long, thankfully, so he will be back and that will help Sonny. But right now, with Aston Villa next and Manchester City, those are two really difficult fixtures for Spurs against teams that are scoring goals and performing really well. I have some thoughts on selling Son. I don't like them. I don't like myself for thinking it. However, I think you have to, in FPL, you know, look at where's the weakest point in your team. Now, I don't think Son's the weakest point in my team, but I certainly think of my five midfielders right now, he's my weakest point. And therefore, you have to consider how you could spend that money elsewhere.
Cool. All right. That's pretty comprehensive.
Did you want something else? Or?
I'll give an opinion if you're interested. I thought Wolves were by far the better team. I thought they outbattled you. For sure, you're absolutely spot on about the legs, right? You were playing players that have had no match fitness,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's one of the things. One of the things that's got you to where you are in the league, and again, Spurs fans, bigger picture, you know, you're third in the league, or fourth in the league, it's still going absolutely brilliant for you, right? And Ange just transforms that club, right? He's transformed it in very short amount of time.
Notice that Spurs fans aren't moaning. There's no moaning going on from Spurs fans.
Not that much, yeah. I've seen a little bit, but not too much.
Well, they're not proper Spurs fans if they're moaning.
But I agree with everything there. It's circumstantial, right?
Yeah, that's what
Monday
it is.
Monday was terrible. Just it decimated the team, and not just a couple of squad players got injured. Your best players, your key players, got injured. So you're having to bring in the likes of Dier and Davis at centre back. And I'm not saying they're bad defenders. I'm just saying these are guys that have come in without that much football. The reason Spurs were doing so well this season is because Andrew's largely stuck with the first 11 and not changed it much because he's not had to because of no European football. So he can go with this first 11 that will bang on it every single week. All of a sudden you take the upside of that is you get consistency, you get match fitness and you have a first 11 that you can trust. The downside is that if you lose a couple of players, and Spurs were incredibly unlucky on Monday to lose as many as they did, and of course the red cards and stuff, then you've got to bring in squad players that are not match fit. And it was super clear particularly when Sarabia come on, right? It's an obvious thing to say because he changed the game. But he come on like a little Duracell bunny. Do you see him? Even when he was warming up on the touchline, bouncing up and down, couldn't wait to get on. And he changed the game. What I will say, though, was that that goal is one of the best goals you'll see.
It's an absolute worldie of a goal.
And were it not for a touch of, like, I'm telling you now, that goal is world class.
Yeah, it was.
It's world class. If you've ever tried to control a ball in midair like that, and then without it bouncing, volleying it in at the near post.
Yeah, it was world class.
Like, 99 times out of 100, he won't do that, right? He won't do it. But for some, he just got it and he hit it, and it was a brilliant goal. I'd be amazed if it's not goal of the month. And then, of course, you know, it affects Spurs, right? And it affects, you know, your legs are already gone, you're mentally, you're tired, and then he pops up with the assist as well, Sarabia. So he changed the game, but you could, you know, I got to the end of it and I couldn't begrudge Wolves. Like, when the clean sheet went, I expected to be really disappointed as a Porro owner, but I was sitting there going, yeah, that's been coming for about an hour.
Yeah, maybe. I think, maybe. I don't know. I think Spurs were better than you've just given them credit for. I think you, when you're talking about, it's a team that lost two big important defenders to red cards in the game on Monday night, and two of our best, the best two players we've had in our team all season, apart from Vicario, in one game on Monday night. So you take one of them out, we'd have been all right. You take two of them out, we're probably still all right.
Yeah.
You take four of them out, well, not only have we lost the creativity from Udogi and Maddison, but we'd lost the stability for Romero and Van de Ven. And I think what I will say is that going into the game against Aston Villa, Udogi will be back from his suspension, so that will help in terms of the creativity. And his link-up play with Brennan Johnson, I think, will actually work quite well. So, it was working brilliantly against Chelsea until Brennan Johnson got subbed because of the Romero red card. So I'm not so worried about the creativity. I'm obviously worried about missing Maddison, but I'm less worried once Udogi's back. But we've still got another game to play out without Romero, and that is going to be the difficulty, is that these two fixtures that we've got are big. They're big for our season. I'm not panicking, though, because I think, you know, look, it's been an incredible start to the season. People are only frustrated by this result this weekend because of how brilliant the rest of the season has been.
Yeah.
And when you actually contextualise what Spurs did in that game, yes, we rode our luck a lot during the game against Wolves. However, it was the tired legs that killed us in the end against a really good performance from Sarabia when he came on. I think we move on. We have to try and deal with Villa now, but it's at Spurs, so they'll have the 12th man behind them. And then obviously we've got to go into the City game, which is going to be very difficult.
Cool. All right. And then from a Wolves perspective, Fulham up next, and obviously a difficult trip to the Emirates, but then Burnley and Forest at home, West Ham, Chelsea on the horizon. Any thoughts to any Wolves assets? I mean, I noticed that second overall for... So only Ward-Prowse created more chances than Ryan Aitnouri in this Wolves team at the weekend. Thought he did pretty well. Despite the goal and assist, I don't think I'm not going to be jumping onto anybody like Sarabia, but... Yeah, again, I'm not panicking from a Spurs perspective on this result, but I'm also not going too in on, Wolves, suddenly we must jump on them from an FPL perspective. I think you might want to look in 15, maybe, but let's see.
If you want a Wolves player, I think you have to get Hwang. I don't think that there's really much debate, but I don't think that... I think that there are better... I think if Spurs have got Van de Ven and Romero playing in this game, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think Van de Ven, it's just like...
The Van de Ven's huge. It's absolutely huge.
It shows you how great a start to the season he's had, coming in from a different league into the Premier League. It shows you how well he's adapted and how well Ange has helped him to adapt, because bloody hell, when he's not there, you miss him. And it's also not just his defence, what he does defensively, and his recovery pace, and you can play the high line because he backs himself to get back. All that is true. But the play, I said it last Sunday, I said you play between, wasn't Sunday, because you hadn't played by then, Ohana, I said it to the patrons, the way that Spurs play out from the back is really dependent on, yes, Romero, but Van de Ven.
Yeah, massive, he's massive.
And that transition from defence means that you're not getting out as quickly or as effectively, and therefore the ball's not getting to players like Son as quickly as it needs to. So
no, you're right, but... It's not as bad as it was first feared. He doesn't need surgery. And that, for me, is absolutely huge. It's so important, because that means that we can really work on. And I actually think that, I know you were saying at the beginning of this stream, I wish there wasn't an international break. From Spurs' perspective, I think this international break is coming at the perfect time. Because the players that we are bringing into our squad, the team, have not been called up on international duty. So the likes of Eric Dier, the likes of Ash Phillips, the players that we really need to build their strength and their pace and everything else, they have now got 2 weeks
to get fit.
And for Ash to work his... For Ange to work his magic on them. Because... And I think that that will be key. Come January, when Van de Ven and Maddison are back, we just need to be in the fight. If we're in the fight in January and we get those guys back in, things look better again. But from an FPL perspective, I think if you've got a Porro, you can sell. Son, yeah. He's probably on the same chopping block, to be honest.
He'd be a sell for me. Also, in case you missed it, Bissouma picked up another yellow, so he's going to miss the Villa game. So another Spurs player that will be missing out on that Villa game. Arsenal 3, Burnley 1. Quickly, let's rattle through the rest of these games. Sam, you bought in Saliba this week, so well done. You get a goal. It was Trossard that made the difference in this game, though. Goal and assist. Nothing for Martinelli owners. Not a lot for Saka owners as well. If you were a Saka owner, how would you feel about this result and what he's producing at the moment? Because it's not exactly like the hauls that we've seen from Saka.
No.
However, what I will say is he did haul against Sevilla in the Champions League. Not that we care about that in FPL, but a goal and assist and a very, very good performance. So that, to me, says that he can obviously still do it. Obviously, he can do it. But in the league, is it starting to get a bit frustrating for Saka owners? This just picking up the odd assist? We want a bit more, don't we?
Look, we're FPL owners. We always want a bit more, but I don't think it's that bad, is it? Like, you know, it's a bit like Salah at the beginning of the season, isn't it? In those opening weeks of the season, we all sat here and went, oh, you know, it's only 5 points, only 5 points, only 6 points, only an assist. But then now the hauls have started for Salah. And look, Saka's been injured. And he's clearly been carrying an injury for a while. And I'm still not convinced that he's not carrying an injury. Like, he still doesn't look quite Saka to me. And original plan was to bring him in this week, but as soon as I watched him in the Champions League pick up that injury, weren't really sure what it was, I was like, well, that rules him out, because I'm not taking out Maddison for another potentially injured player. That just doesn't, I can't do that.
That in the end was the reason I didn't captain him either. I think I was sort of looking at my bus team.
Were you close?
Thinking, it was on my mind. It was on my mind. I just saw Arsenal home to Burnley. I backed them to score a few goals. Then I watched his performance against Sevilla. And while I was watching that, I moved the captaincy to Saka.
Did you?
And then when he picked up the knock and sort of hobbled off, I moved it back to Haaland.
Yeah, interesting.
So I did, yes. I did consider Saka for captaincy this week.
Interesting.
And a few FPL managers would have done that, right?
Yeah, and I don't really understand it, because it was a doubt going into the game. So if you captain somebody that's a doubt, then...
Yeah.
You know, you're lucky that you played at all and got the assist, to be honest. I just think that this week, when you had nice fixtures against weaker defences for Salah and Haaland, it didn't feel right to take a risk. Like, if you captained Trossard or Martinelli, I'd sort of understood that more, because it was a nice fixture against players that were kind of almost certain to start because of the issues for Nketiah and Saka. But yeah, look, it's international break now. Saka will be going away with England.
Do you think he will?
Yeah, well, he's going to now. He's played this game.
I might find a way to get him out of that, I think.
I don't think so. I think if you play this week, you can't withdraw from... And plus, Saka didn't go away on international duty last time, and yet still turned up at St George's Park to have his test done. So I think he will... I think he'll 100% be going away with England. Whether he plays a lot of minutes, they're two qualifiers, though, this time. They're not friendlies.
Yeah, but come on, we're there, aren't we? I mean, we've got Malta at home, and then we've got some other game.
But if you're Gareth Southgate, this is the last international break for a long time. You're going to want to make sure that you know what you're doing. You've got a major tournament coming up in the summer where you're the favourites, or one of the favourites, alongside France, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Saka's going to go away with England and play minutes, so let's keep an eye on him.
All right, where else do you want to talk about? Do we want to talk about Man United 1 Luton 0 at all? I don't think we do,
other than
it was not a convincing performance again. I thought we were going to get a clean sheet from Kabore at one stage, but unconvincing. Should we move on?
You're not
getting any Man United assets, are you? You're just not.
No, I don't think there's anyone from a Manchester United perspective. I said before the game that if I was going to invest in anybody, it would be Hoyland. And actually watching the game, I thought that he was probably the best player again. I just think Rashford's so off it. But then he picked up an injury. It looked a bit like a hamstring injury. So we're going to have to see what that's all about.
You've got to keep an eye on that, yeah.
That's going to be one to watch. But Rashford, I just think he's so, so off it.
Hoyland missed a sitter as well, didn't he? He and Watkins both missed sitters. He was top for XG underachievers. You would have thought it would have been Watkins, but Watkins obviously got the goal. Whereas Hoyland, no goals, XG of 1.11. There was one that came off his knee from about a yard out. That was a very high XG chance. And he should have put that away.
And I think he's the best asset. He's the one that looks the most dangerous. But when off injured, let's see how that pans out over the next couple of weeks. And even then, like that Manchester United team, they are not convincing.
I feel like Hoyland, and we move on because we're not getting any Man U and we're certainly not getting any Luton. But I feel like Hoyland is like really trying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you put Hoyland in that Spurs team, or if you put him in...
most other teams in the league. I don't
know, Brighton or, like, Villa, it'd be doing really well. Like, if Newcastle didn't have Isak or Wilson, stick Hoyland in there, it'd be doing really well. It's just he's a victim of circumstance in that United team at the minute. But he is trying. He really is. Some of them need to take a look at themselves, but he doesn't, because I genuinely think he's looking pretty good. But like you say, pulled up with what looks like a bit of a hammy. So, yeah, keep an eye on that one. Villa 3, Fulham 1. We're talking about Ollie missing chances, but he did get his goal.
We haven't seen this one because it wasn't live on TV in the UK.
Yeah, correct. The 2 o'clock game was the West Ham game.
But I take the Diaby assist.
The jammy Diaby assist, because he barely touches it, I don't think. But he just about gets enough of a touch
that
on it to, for it to be an assist. Yeah, we can't say too much about this because we've not seen the highlights. But yeah, Villa, home, 3-1. It's good, right? What I will say, though, is the fixtures do start to... look a little bit like they're on the turn. So
Matt Cash is on the agenda for a swap out.
Possibly, yeah. Spurs and then Bournemouth away. You know, we've just seen how much Newcastle struggled at the Vitality. Then City, Arsenal, Brentford away even is quite difficult. So we are coming out of that really nice period of fixtures that Aston Villa have had into now more difficult ones. I assume you're not going to stay trebled up. Or how are you feeling about your Villa assets?
I was never planning to stay trebled up, not even for this long. Like, I planned to treble up for 1 week and then sell Diaby. But as it's gone, I don't feel like Diaby's the one I want to sell, weirdly.
Do you not?
No, I still like Diaby. And I think if I was going to sell him... I'm about to say something horrible. I think if I was going to sell a midfielder this week, it would be Son over Diaby that I would look to ship out. And I hate myself that I've just said that because they're going to play each other. But Matt Cash is on the chopping board, and he's the one I thought would not be on the chopping board at Villa. I thought I'd probably want to hold him more long term.
Where would you go to though with that?
Well, I think normally I'd think right, a couple of difficult fixtures, I'll bench him. But when you look at Tsimikas, who'd be coming off for him, I don't really want to play Tsimikas next week against Man City. I'd like to bench him as well. So I just kind of have to think about where I want to go. Like, Newcastle defensively have gone all at sea since they've had their injuries, and that's normally where I would look. And I did look quite seriously at going for a Newcastle defender this week.
You could go Lascelles though or something, right? You could just like get a 4.0, you know?
But do I want another 4.0? Because I've already got Tsimikas in there, and I've got Charlie Taylor. Do I want to go down there to another 4.0? Don't think so.
Depends what you're going to do with the money, doesn't it? But yeah, I do take your point.
I've got Saliba already, so I don't really want to go there. West Ham have got nice fixtures, but I've already got Areola, and I don't
want
to.
We need Purvis back, don't we? We want Purvis
back.
Do
we? Do we want Purvis back?
I'm not sure, actually, because we're not exactly keeping clean sheets.
No, exactly. Brighton looking absolutely not.
Which defence are you going to invest in? I'm just looking at these fixtures here. I mean, top of the ticker, Burnley, no. Forest, no. West Ham, well, we've all got Areola anyway.
Yeah.
He's not keeping clean sheets either. Bournemouth, no. Newcastle, well, yeah, okay, we've just discussed that, but... you're probably talking
maybe,
about LSL,
if you go
maybe.
In there, you'd have to go Trippier, I think.
Wolves,
I don't
no. Sheffield, no. Brighton, well, no, unless it's Purvis. Fulham, no. Everton, no. Then you're sort of down into the sort of Arsenals and Spurs, but the fixtures look trickier because you're already halfway down the ticker. So, yeah, what to do with Matty Cash is quite an interesting question, isn't it? It's quite an interesting question, and one that we'll probably come to in a couple of weeks. I'm probably going to keep for the Spurs and the Bournemouth games, but sell ahead of
the Charlie Taylor. So just bench Cash for Charlie Taylor next week.
Stick Charlie Taylor in for West Ham and Sheffield United at home. Don't mind it.
Well, I've got Bowen, so I don't really want to play Charlie Taylor against Bowen, but I don't know. It is a dilemma, but Matt Cash certainly not filling me with love and confidence right now.
Yeah, the chat is saying maybe James is the go-to. I don't mind it. I don't mind it, John.
I hate myself for even thinking
John,
about Rhys James.
John, I am ready to be hurt by Rhys James again.
No, I'm not. I'm not again. Ready for it, Lee. Lee, I'm not ready for Rhys James to break my heart again.
I saw a comment in the chat earlier. James is a nice FPL pick, but he's made a Weetabix. You're absolutely right.
Rhys James will break my heart. I'm just going to put it out there now, so I don't want it. I don't want my heart broken by Rhys James again.
All right, some games, Sam. We've got to rattle through some of these. Salah doing the business. Nunes not at Anfield. But a good win again for Liverpool, right? I mean,
can't really talk about this one too much either because we haven't watched it.
Seem to be cooking you though, listened, right? I did listen to it on the radio, but I will be watching the highlights on Match of the Day, no doubt about it. Don't know much to say. Diogo's popped up with a goal. Apparently he played very well as well today. I don't think you can go there because of the rotation. Salah just does what Salah does, right? Two goals at home. Anfield, I must say, Anfield is becoming a bit of a fortress again at the moment. Away from home, different question, right? We've got some sketchy results to say the least. But
have
Anfield,
you got to go to City or are they coming to you?
No, we've got to go to City in, and this will shock you, Sam, a 12:30 kickoff after an international break. That will shock you. But we have got the lunchtime kickoff after an international break. I mean, that's quite incredible, isn't it? That never happens.
Whose idea is it to put Man City versus Liverpool?
Crap idea, isn't it?
That is absolutely crap idea. That has got fantastic. Oh, we were at Sky that day as well. I hope we're going to make back in time. Oh,
blimey, okay, yeah.
That has got absolutely quality match written all over it. And then you hear it's 12:30 and you go, oh, for God's
sake.
It's
just crap, isn't it? It's just crap.
Because that means Darwin's probably not playing, probably. Alvarez is going to come back
maybe.
Late. Diaz probably not
just
playing.
Just crap, isn't it? 12:30
All lunchtime. Those big players that we... make it the 4:30? What's the 4:30 game?
I don't know. Look it up, whatever. But anyway, Tsimikas good. Salah good. Darwin good, I think. But then, I don't know. Like you say, you're not going to bring
Everton,
him in...
Everton, Man United.
You're not going to pick him this week because of the City game and the fact that he'll be travelling. So you can't pick Darwin this week. But maybe...
No.
Going forward. And from a Brentford perspective, again, got to see the highlights, but again, you're not bringing them in, I don't think, ahead of, they've got another difficult game next week, haven't they?
Who?
Yeah, Arsenal. And then you want them for this run, don't you? Luton, Brighton, Sheffield United, Villa. So you want Mbeumo for 14, right? Despite the fact they've got a blank on the horizon in 18, you still want him for those four. And I will definitely be holding him for those four. Elsewhere, West Ham 3, Forest 2, another good game by all accounts. We watched most of that on the TV this morning because it was the one that was shown here in the UK. Bowen got his goal. Paqueta, who I thought had a brilliant game, by the way. What a player.
He's excellent.
I like this player, Paqueta.
And they missed him
a lot last week
when he was suspended.
Really, really good. But it was James Ward-Prowse that kind of caught my eye and took the headlines, right? So top for chances created on the Fantasy Football Scout members area. And top for crosses this week as well. Top of both of those statistics across the whole game, James Ward-Prowse. He created 5 chances, which is one more than Christy, Lerma and Aitnori. And top for crosses with what looks like about 13 crosses, which ended up beating Bruno Fernandes and Morgan Gibbs-White this week. So, yeah, James Ward-Prowse with 2 assists. Worthy of our thoughts and worthy of conversation? Or
no.
Are we just sticking him in the kind of...
No.
He got a couple of decent returns from set pieces box.
No, I don't think you can get him because, you know, for weeks people have been selling him because he's been... At the beginning of the season, he was playing this really attacking role and he looked great because he was getting in all the right places. He was putting in all these crosses. He was on set pieces and it was like, yes, you are great value for money and it's looking great. And then he started playing deeper again and it was like, oh, well, now you're not getting all these. You've still got the set pieces, but... They're not really getting finished and you're deeper in the rest of the game. Now, this week, we saw him again in the slightly more advanced role and he's made a big impact. So if I'm David Moyes, I'm surely looking at this going, I can't keep playing
That's
James
Ward-Prowse
down. And he's playing. So if he continues to play him there, then fine. I think.
But look what it does to them defensively.
Well, I know that. But you have to kind of, you have to work out what you want to do, don't you? Like as if you're David Moyes, you got to make changes somewhere. So... James Ward-Prowse is far better when he's attacking. It does make them more vulnerable going backwards because they don't have that protection in the way that, you know, some other clubs do. So, and I don't, you know, I do kind of keep wondering to myself, like, Areola, I think he's been all right, actually. He's made some good saves. But they do have Fabianski there. And at some point, with one clean sheet, in 12 matches, Lee.
No, he's all right.
Honestly, if I'm David Moyes, I'm looking at that.
Areola was decent today. Pulled off a lot of good saves.
He did, but
particularly before that, before the Awoniyi goal, and even on his goal, it was a good save. And it's just he followed it up. That he got followed up in his defence, let him down. So, don't start bringing Fabianski to the table. That's not happening. We're not having that. Patreon.com/FPL family. A quick shout out to all of our patrons here in the live chat. I'm sure many of them are in. Give us a wave in the live chat, guys, if you are in. If you want a little bit more of FPL Family in your life, bonus Ohana podcasts. If you'd like to take part in our Manager of the Month competition to win footy shirts, then that is the place to go. Or if you would like kind of one-to-ones with Sam to talk about, or me, to talk about your team, then all the links are in the description below. Patreon.com/FPL family. And at the end of game week 11, yes, Sam, we do need to go back and talk about game week 11. Wilco and Coco were at the top with 53. We had Cecily and Tony in with 37. Raj, Dom and Josh in with 36. So it's quite a condensed...
Never seen so many names on a leaderboard.
Well, it's quite a condensed week. Wilco and Coco had Doku. That was basically the difference, right? Whereas the rest of them, it was everybody was caught in and around that sort of 30-point mark. So very difficult game week 11, as we know. I will, of course, be updating the patrons with the results of game week 12, adding the scores together, refreshing this league table here, this leaderboard here, and then posting it on Patreon to see how the guys are getting on. But from what Wilco was saying in the chat earlier, looks like he's had a good game week 12 as well. So I think he's going to be in pole position. It sounds like Wilco might be the man
Wilco's
to beat.
Wilco's won before, right? We sent you a Liverpool shirt.
He's a reigning former winner, reigning champion, right? So, Wilco could be a two-time Brace. FPL Family Manager of the Month monthly patron winner.
It's
so
just the one game week left, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. We've got the international break. Then we've got game week 13, and that is it for November. It's a quick month.
Oh, then it's a busy one because it's December.
Patreon.com/FPL family. If you'd like a little bit more of Sam and I in your lives. Sam, let's talk about my team first. Let's rattle through these 80 points. Happy with that this week. Happy with that. That is not my team. Where's that come from? That's not my team, is it?
What is that?
I don't know. That's my team from a little while ago. Botman and Burning Cash and Kabore on a double game week. That's from absolutely ages ago.
Well, how have you ended up there?
That is definitely the wrong image.
Have you picked the wrong screen?
Let's go to your team.
Would you like me to tell you about your team? Oh, here, look. Have it on my phone.
Now, talk about your team, look, because I've got the right one for your team. I'm going to find my image. I've got it on my laptop somewhere. So
and then you can just drop it on live.
Talk about your team and I'll drop it on.
All right. So a decent game week. A bit frustrating because 86 with the 15 for Tsimikas on the bench. So it would have been 100 club had I played him instead of Gehi. But to be honest, I was never, ever close.
No.
I was never close to benching Gehi because he was playing all week until I brought in Saliba. And then it was like, well, I can't. There's no way I can fit him in. So Tsimikas sits on the bench, which is an annoyance. Areola's becoming a little bit of an annoyance to me, the fact that there's just not a clean sheet inside for them. And that is frustrating, and it is making me kind of look at that and go, given I've not got Turner at the moment, none of us do, I would really like a goalkeeper who I can trust.
Where are you going to go?
But again,
keeper situation is so tough, isn't it, this year?
And it goes back to what we were saying about the defenders when you're looking for a cash replacement. There's just nobody that I'm not already in on. Like, maybe Raya, but then I'm doubled up on Arsenal defensively. Now, do I hate that? Well, I don't know. But I'm not loving the doubling up defensively because you know that I don't enjoy doing that. So Gehi and Cash with the blanks is a frustration. Saliba with the goal is fantastic. Very happy about that. Midfield, Son and Gordon, who was my other transfer in this week. Oh, for clarity, my transfers out were the injured Byrne and Maddison. And in came Gordon and Saliba. So transfers worked fine.
Yeah.
But Gordon a little bit annoyed that he didn't get anything. But we are where we are. Bowen and Diaby with 8 and 6 is
it's
really
a good
nice.
Week. 86 is a bloody good week.
Yeah,
right?
Salah didn't have the armband, but pleased with his 16. Watkins with 6. Haaland with the 32. So wouldn't have mattered whether I'd captain Salah or Haaland in the end.
I should also say that this was taken from the screenshots taken from the app before the bonus points were added. So yeah, Haaland actually ended up on 16, double to 32, right?
He did, yeah. Yes, double to 32. So actually it wouldn't have made any difference which way around I'd done that. So I can't help but feel a little bit frustrated with myself about Tsimikas. But in reality,
I think I would still
have done it again.
Palace at home to Everton and Villa at home to Fulham. Yeah, come on. I mean,
Yeah. It is just what it is. But I think when you miss out on that level of points in a differential player, because he still is a differential player, it feels... It
doesn't hurt, but no, because it's like, oh, I've missed one there.
It's
I've
a great green arrow. I'm really happy with that. But so my overall rank has improved great, but my league rankings in a lot of the leagues that I am fiercely competitive about have taken red arrows, and that really stings.
Did Kelly and Jules play Simicast this week?
Yeah, they've both gone back above me
now.
And I just know that we're actually recording on Wednesday this week because we've got the FCAs, more on that later, on Thursday. But so on Wednesday morning, Jules is back top. He's going to be absolute nightmare. And it's all because of Simicast, because actually my team, again, has outperformed both of their teams, but they've both started Simicast.
And Wilco's quite rightly saying, I thought it was your spirit animal, Sam.
Oh, Wilco.
Say that to Wilco.
Oh, I can. Wilco drops in my DMs now just to give me abuse. Do you know that?
Quite right.
He just
right
comes
too.
In, like, sends me something and then leaves again. And I'm like...
Just drops a little grenade in.
He does. He just pops over and it's like, hi, Sam. It's lucky I like you, Wilco. Honestly.
Oh, love it. All right,
he is
well,
my spirit animal as well. I know. I'm frustrating
listen,
myself.
86 is not to be sniffed at all.
Still
overall rank 122. Very good indeed. And an overall rank change of 46.
Nice to go into 5%. An international break like this after last week.
Yeah, totally. Right, I'm gonna have to change this on the fly.
Oh my God.
Anything could happen here, folks. Have you got my team up there? Because you can start talking about my team. I'm only going to need 10 seconds to do this, but you are going to have to fill time.
Wait. When am I going to find you in a league?
The podcasters will see, you know, they won't even notice the technical nonsense that's going on in the background here. While you're doing that, I'm going to change my team because this is a team from ages
ago. Let's give a little update. So in case anybody's interested, there are now 8 points between Lee and I.
Is that what it is?
I think... Oh, no, the leagues won't be updated. So you're on...
No, I've got... You're more than that above me, I'm
I don't know.
Sure.
What are you on? 7-2...
7-5-2 now. There we go.
And updated. I'm on...
Kabore's not on a double anymore.
Oh, that's fine then. Kabore not being on a double.
There we go.
So you're on 7-5-2. I'm on 7-6-6. So what's that? 12 points. 12 points between us.
14, I think.
7-5-2. Oh yeah, you're right.
14. So yeah, that's pretty good. I would basically attribute that 14 to me picking Gabriel over Saliba at the beginning of the season.
Oh my God. And again.
And again this week, picking Gabriel and not Saliba. The Gabriel versus Saliba battle is basically going to define FPL Family's Wooden Spoon Trophy destination this week.
Listen.
This season. I'm still bitter about it. But I can't be too bitter.
No one would tell.
I can't be too bitter about my team because I can't really say that I was lucky, unlucky this week. I've made some poor decisions. And actually...
Just one, no?
Well, the Gordon transfer in, having sat here for weeks saying I'm getting Bowen and then not getting Bowen at
what
a time when...
What is it about you and Bowen?
When Maddison is just there going, look, I just upgrade me to Bowen. Don't overthink it.
It's not an upgrade.
Just Maddison to Bowen. Just do it.
It's
and
cheaper.
I didn't. I overthought it and went for Gordon. And it might work out in the longer term, I don't know. But here I am wanting Bowen in my team and
again.
I still not got him. Still not got him. I wasn't expecting too much from Mbeumo this week or next, but he's got to be in the team, isn't he? I've got to play him. But should have backed Simicast over Mbeumo. Should have backed Simicast. But I didn't think that was going to... I didn't
You'd
think the clean sheet was going to...
You'd always pay the attack.
Well,
you can't
I don't
be
know,
annoyed
but
about that.
I didn't back us for a clean sheet. I backed Mbeumo to get something on the break and... He was an Allison fingertip away from doing that. Porro could have been a bit more than just the 5, but it is what it is. I'm pleased with it, right? 80 points is not bad at all. So my rank's gone up from 300 and something K to 266K. That's fine. Up but 25.8%. Obviously, the Simicast benching's a pain in the ass, but it is what it is. I thought we got the captaincy wrong, you know? I thought we got that wrong.
Did you?
Yeah.
When?
Well, when Salah braced and Haaland hadn't played yet. I thought I got it wrong.
Did you really?
Yeah. Did you expect Haaland to get 16 points?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right, fair
enough. Because I watched Chelsea on Monday night and that defence was so bad that I thought, even when Salah had braced, I didn't panic. I still thought Haaland's got a brace in him here.
All right, fair enough. I thought we got that wrong. And actually, I thought we were a bit lucky, really, because you got the penalty that wasn't, in my opinion, a penalty.
Not saying that we weren't lucky.
You got an assist that basically wasn't an assist. And you've got a goal that he's put in with his backside. So
I'm not saying we weren't lucky. I'm just saying that before that game, I still went into it backing him to level Salah.
Yeah, all right. Well, I think we've got a bit... Yeah, I thought I'd made the wrong decision with Mo getting a couple of goals. But anyway, Saka, and which is why I asked the question of you earlier, just starting to
You're not going to sell him.
Of course I'm not, but I'm just starting to get a bit of the ump with him.
Yeah, I can understand. Because
he's just
that.
Not ticking over the points that I want him to. And maybe that's because you haven't got him. And I'm hoping that keep looking at him going, he's my different. He's for me.
Because I've got Bowen.
Because you've got
why.
Bowen and I've got Saka. And I'm like, Saka, you should be outscoring Bowen. And he's just not.
And he's not, yeah.
Because he's got the fixtures. He's in a better team, in my opinion. And he's Saka. He's more in terms of FPL pounds. Saka. I'm just like, well, you should be doing the business for me. And he's just not. Anyway, I'm not going to sell him, right? Because I think he can still turn it on in any game. So, yeah, it's an all right week. 80 points is not bad. Yeah, it's not bad. So we're going to take that and we're going to move on. Quick shout out to our friends at Fantasy Football Scout. As most of you will know, we use the Fantasy Football Scout members area here on this iPad every single week here on FPL Family. It is my go-to source of information, not just for these live streams, but throughout the week when I'm preparing for the game week. Love talking to all of the different Scout members in the forums as well, which they've got on there. So fantasyfootballscout.co.uk, still the number one place to go and get all your stats and your FPL news. So if you want to become a member over there, then there's a little affiliate link on the screen, and I think I've put that in the description below as well. So never too late to sign up to the home of fantasy football, fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. All right, Sam, talk everybody through what is going on this week, please.
Well, it's a really busy week, but in a different way, because obviously it's the international break, so we will be taking a little break from content in terms of no live stream this time next week, because mm-hmm. we'll be midway through the international break. We will still be putting out an Ohana this week. It will be an Ask Us Anything Ohana, because, you know, guys, it's international break, and you love it. But we will record it slightly later, because this week we have the fantasy, the awards.
The football content awards.
In
Thursday, right?
Yes, there's the evening up in Liverpool. So we'll be going up to Liverpool on Thursday for the content awards.
Thank you to anyone that voted for us, by the way.
Yeah.
Not just to get there in the first place, but if you did vote for us to win an award. Listen, there's some absolutely brilliant YouTubers going
to
be there, right?
We're not expecting to win the
Listen,
video award.
Just to be there is brilliant. So thank you to everyone that voted for us to be there and voted for us to win. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, so we're really looking forward to that on Thursday. And obviously, as you all know from before, we're up for video, which is wonderful, and you know there's a lot of amazing video content creators, so we're not expecting to win, but it's lovely to be nominated. And obviously Scout, we're up for best in editorial. The official pod is up for
vote Sam in all the things.
Can't vote anymore.
Hashtag of the season
and the
so
FCAs we're also up for fantasy football community as well. So I'm so excited about Thursday night. It's going to be brilliant. We'll also be doing an international break special over on the official pod. We're recording that on Wednesday because obviously I'm off to Anfield on Thursday. So that'll be out slightly earlier this week. And then into the week after, we've got a really busy week. And I'll talk about this now because obviously we don't have a live stream next weekend. We've got Ohana going out as usual. The official pod will be back again that week for the game week 13 preview. And we'll also be on Sky on that Saturday morning talking all about game week.
Just before the City Liverpool game. But guess what, Sam? You wouldn't believe it. 12:30 after international break, a Liverpool game.
That's a real shock.
Unbelievable, that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I see Klopp's really happy.
Crazy.
As
well, he's right to be upset, but don't get me going. That's it, guys. Thank you for joining us here on FPL Family this evening. Hopefully, that was a long stream, Sam. We're nearly an hour and a half. Thank you to everybody that joined us, because we had something nice to talk about. Unlike Game Week 11, where I was just like, can we just get this over with? Because Game Week 11 was utter trash.
Well, we didn't talk about it.
Utter trash. Whereas Game Week 12, much, much better for most of you, and it was for us as well. So back on track, hopefully. Back on track with Game Week 12. So guys, leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button. We will see you on Twitter, TikTok, and all those other places. And back here on YouTube, 8:30 in a couple of Sundays' time. We'll see you soon, guys. Cheers.
Bye, everybody.